I have a message entitled, Decide to Trust God. Decide to Trust God. Very simple message. It recounts the time that Abraham came out from Ur of the Chaldees. He came out from a community of people who went one way, and Abraham decided that he was going to go another way. He simply made a decision to trust God. And you know the rest of the story. You know the Bible calls him the father of the faithful. We wouldn't be here if that man had not simply made a decision. And many people will be born into the kingdom of God by the power of the Holy Spirit because we choose to make a decision. Any one person that chooses to make a decision can be useful in the hands of God to bring about generations of men and women who choose to walk with God. Abraham had no power, no position, no title. He simply made a decision to walk with God. And by doing so, was useful in God's hand to change the world. Now, what I'd like for you to do is open your Bibles and consider with me two portions of scriptures. Genesis 11 and Genesis 12. Genesis 11 and Genesis 12, we're going to look at the first four verses in 11 and the first three in 12. I've studied this portion of scripture for a while, and every time I study it, I seem to get more from it. I was initially going to call this message chapter 11 bankruptcy. Because you see the bankruptcy of the decisions that were made in chapter 11, and yet you see the generosity of God and the provision of God in the decisions that are made in chapter 12. So we'll first read Genesis 11, 1 through 4, then Genesis 12, 1 through 3, and then we are going to juxtapose these and superimpose these and find that there are significant contrasts between these two lifestyles. And then the thing that we want to remind each other of throughout is that Abraham used to be one of those who were of Genesis 11 until God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he simply, by making a decision, became another kind of man. Genesis 11, beginning at verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. And you know the rest of that story. The Lord brought their tower down and confused their language so that they could no longer consult with one another and try to attain in their own strength the things that they thought they deserved. Genesis 12, 1, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, what we see happening here is a man who has decided that irrespective of how he was raised and what he was taught and what he had been exposed to and what he had experienced and what philosophy was the swaddling cloth of his upbringing, what he had seen around him and who told him what was right and what was wrong and this and that and the other thing. There came a time when he made up his own mind that even though this has been my experience and even though this was the way I was raised and even though I was taught this philosophy and even though I was made to understand theology from this perspective or that perspective or even though I was taught this particular political ideology, I realized that God has a call on my life. And if I'm going to fulfill the call on my life or allow the Holy Spirit to fulfill that call on my life, I simply have to make a decision. And the decision is I'm going to trust God rather than all the things that I have trusted in the past. And I'm going to follow God rather than following the paradigm or the pattern that was set before me. I am going to make up my mind to answer the call of God. And in doing so, I'm going to become a different kind of person. Now, it begins with the idea of deciding to trust God's voice. If you look at these things comparatively, you'll notice that in chapter 11, it says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. But in chapter 12, it says, now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house. Now, if Abraham had wanted, he could have said what everybody else was saying. And he could have joined the chorus of his community. And he could have said, I just want to keep in step with everybody else, and I just want to be relevant, and I just don't want to be left behind, and I don't want to be isolationist, and I don't want to be elitist. I simply want to say what everybody else is saying. And it says clearly here that everybody was saying the same thing. Everybody had the same language. Everybody had the same speech. Everybody had the same word. But God was calling Abraham out of that. He was saying, I want you to leave your father's house. I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave the philosophy of your generation. I want you to trust me, to trust my voice. I know all the voices that are going on around you. I know the voices in the media. I know the voices that you hear as you walk down the street. I know the voices that you hear on the job. I know the voices that you hear in your places of education. But God is saying, what I want is for you to hear my voice. And when I begin to call you out, I want you to recognize that you have a decision to make. Brothers and sisters, in this generation, we have a decision to make. There are many voices, and many of them are joining forces. Do you remember the time when they were about to execute our Savior? It says that Pilate and Herod became friends that day. And we heard our pastor speaking not too long ago, why do the heathen rage and the peoples plot vain things? It says that they come together so that they might say that we don't want to serve this Messiah anymore. But you and I have made a decision that we are not going to hear the voices of a generation that has turned their back on God. We are going to hear the voice of the great God. We are going to put our heart and our minds into his hands, and we are going to let him lead us. We are going to let him guide us. We are going to let him direct us. Brothers and sisters, there comes a time when a man and a woman has got to make a decision. And we say to ourselves, we are not going to join the chorus of this society. We are not going to join the blasphemy of this society. We are not going to join the curses of this society. But we are going to speak the word of God. And we are going to join with God, confess what God says, say what God says, profess what God says, cause this generation to know that God still speaks. And he still has men and women who dare to hear his voice and who dare to proclaim his gospel. Again, decide to trust God's plan. In verse 11, or chapter 11, it says, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. They found their own place. They made their own plans. They made their own decisions. They plotted their own course. But Abraham, on the other hand, heard the Lord say to him that I want you to go to a land that I will show you. And you know the Holy Scriptures, brothers and sisters. Abraham did not know where he was going. Moses and the children of Israel didn't understand the route that God was taking them. There comes a time in the life of the Christian person when we come out from Ur of the Chaldees. We come out from this sense that we have got to make our own plan, that we've got to have a 5-year plan, that we've got to know where everything is going to work out and how everything is going to work out. There comes a time when we recognize that we walk by faith and not by sight. Sometimes we got to put down our Rolodex. Sometimes we got to put down our calendars. Sometimes we've got to remind ourselves that God reserves the right to circle dates in our calendar. God reserves the right to plot our course. God reserves the right to tell us where we're going and when we're going there. God reserves the right to say to us, I'm the one who is drawing out your calendar and the one who's drawing out your map. So once we begin to say that I am coming out from that mindset, from that philosophy that says I always have to know exactly the way it's going, and we get to a place where we say to God, Lord, you tell me from day to day where we're going. Lord, you take me by the hand and you lead me through this life. You take me by the hand because you are good and your mercy endures forever. Lord, when you grip me by the hand, I know I'm not going to fall. If I was trying to do it in my own strength, if I was trying to make it happen, if it was all about my grip rather than the Lord's grip, then I would have some problems. But when God takes us by the hand, and he says, you might not know this way. And he's got to say to us in this generation, you have never come this way before. We are living in a new time. This is a new generation. There is nothing like this time in all of history. And God has chosen that we should be born in this generation. God has chosen that we should be born in this time. God has chosen that we should do the things that he's called us to do in a time when everything seems impossible. God has called us to this particular day. God has planned it. God will work it out. We have never come this way before. And so we take God by the hand, and he takes us by the hand, and he grips our hand, and he begins to move us out. We don't plot our own course. We don't plan our own destiny. We trust God with it. We believe the Lord for it. Again, we have to decide to trust God's process. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city. But the Lord said to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. You see, when you and I try to push God's hand, when we try to make it happen too soon, when we try to make it happen in our own strength, when we try to make it happen based upon our own motives, when we try to make it happen based upon our own concept of what's right and what's wrong, then we might build ourselves a little city. But God had determined to build us a nation. God had determined to do some great things in our lives. But it was only going to be by the hand of the Almighty God. And there comes a time when God says to you and he says to me, you can do it the old way if you want to. And you can build with all your might if you want to. And you can sweat and you can toil if you choose to. Or you can decide to trust the Lord and trust his process. God knows how to build us up. God knows how to strengthen us. God knows how to encourage us. Every now and again, you see the, for instance, the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And it's always a monument to folks who are in a rush. before the ground could settle, before the foundation could get to a place where it could hold that kind of weight, folks were in a rush and they decided, I'm going to build on this before there's been anything that's actually settled, before there's been any real foundation. And they try to build upward before any downward growth, if you will, had happened. And then what the Lord tends to do with us is build a foundation. He tends to cause roots to begin to go for the streams and go for the underwater pathways. And he begins to draw us into places. We begin to draw from the underground streams, and we begin to draw from the life of Christ, and we begin to settle, and we begin to become mature. And all of a sudden, God begins to develop things in our lives. He begins to grow us upward after he's grown us downward, after we've taken root, after we've found the waters. He begins to draw us up, and all of a sudden, the things that we expected to see happen in our lives begin to happen, but we grow straight. We're not lopsided. Amen. We're not leaning too far over here, leaning too far over there, but we become people that represents the finished work of Jesus. Amen. People who walk in maturity, people who know what to do with the gifts that God has given us. Not people who lavish God's blessings upon themselves or upon any idols, but people who lay everything at the feet of Christ. Everything. Because we've allowed God's process to become our process. We're not letting somebody on TV tell us that we got to get everything right now, just right, just quick, this, that, and the other, and all we got to do is send them $100. No, we realize that life is a process. And God is not ashamed of our process, and we ought not to be ashamed of his. One step at a time, we take him by the hand, and he leads us and leads us, beside the still waters, leads us onto the green pastures, sometimes through the valley of the shadow of death. It's all right. He's with us. He will not forsake us, and we trust in his process. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Decide to trust God's faithfulness. Notice over here it says, and a tower whose top is to the heavens. So their thought is, I'm going to build a tower in my own strength. And I'm going to attain to the heavens in my own strength. But the Lord simply says to Abraham, I will bless you. Just that simple. They're trying to attain to heaven. We want to build a tower whose top is to the heavens. By our own strength, by our own efforts, according to what we think heaven should be like, according to what we think God should be like, we're going to build this tower that goes to the heavens. And God simply says to Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Many of us have grown up in very legalistic societies. Many of us have heard all kinds of religions that says you have to do this in your own strength. Some have even gone so far as to say, Jesus died so that you can earn your own righteousness. You can earn your own place in heaven. He just gave you another shot at it. But that's not what the Bible says. Jesus died so that his life can be lived in us and through us. He didn't give us another crack at doing it in our own strength. He changed us, made us new, because he chose to bless us. He didn't say, now you can work your way to heaven. He said, I will bless you. You understand, you and I, instead of making promises to God, we simply appropriate all of the promises of God that are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Jesus says, I'm going to keep you. Jesus says, I'm going to heal you. Jesus said, I'm going to grow you. Jesus said, I'm going to bring you along. Jesus said, I'm going to change you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to sanctify you. And all we have to do is say, yes, Lord. All we have to do is decide to let him do what he said he's going to do. Decide to come out of the old philosophy. Decide to stop trying to build our own towers into heaven. They're all leaning towers anyway, and they're not going to last for long. But he decides to come down, to condescend. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and built his tabernacle among us. Because he knew we could not attain to where he is. He came to us and simply said, don't worry, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to free you. Remember how the Lord came down to Moses in the days of old and said, I've heard the groanings. I've heard the tears. I've heard the pain. And I've come to help you. I've come to bless you. I've come to free you. And that's the way of the Lord. Trust in God's faithfulness. Trust in God's intentions. They said, let us make a name for ourselves in Genesis 11. But the Lord says to Abraham, I will make your name great. I'll give you a reputation in this generation. Men and women will know that you are a true servant of the Lord. But not only that, but in the Bible, a person's name is parallel with their character. I will develop your character. Remember, the Bible says, by God's covenant faithfulness, by his gentleness, by his tender love, he has made us great. Not in our own strength. We've not built anything, but God came down and blessed us and changed us. He made us into a different kind of people. And all we did was decided to say yes. So if that's the case when we were first born again, how much more now as we walk through this life, when God begins to say, hey, wait a minute, you're beginning to hold on to a philosophy that you've long since been freed from, let it go. And we simply make a decision to say yes to God. I decide to trust you to make my name great rather than me trying to make a name for myself. I remember the first time I preached here in this church, long, long, long time ago. After I preached, there was a guy who came to me. I don't even know who he was. I've not seen him since or whatever. And he said, man, you've really opened up a door for yourself. I'm looking at the guy like he's insane. He might as well have had seven heads. I didn't know what he was talking about. I had an opportunity to talk about the Jesus that I love. An opportunity to bless his holy name. An opportunity to make mention of his name. To make mention of his glory. To praise him and to do it in front of my friends and family. That's all I cared about. That's all I care about. To bless the name of Jesus. To glorify him. I don't care where it is. Every opportunity I get, I'm going to make mention of his goodness. I'm going to call upon his name. I'm going to bless the Lord with everything that I am and everything that I have, because that's a gift from God. That's something he gave me. He changed my character. He changed my name. He changed what I used to call myself. You know what I'm talking about? My Lord, he changed me. Man, when I was out in the street and I was out, I used to call myself bottom of the barrel Carol because I had nothing, right? And I knew it. And then all of a sudden, he began to change my name. He began to change my name, and he began to make me to understand, hallelujah, hallelujah, that only his greatness can make us great. Only his faithfulness can make us great. We could talk about that for a while, but I got one or two more things I want to point out. Decide to trust God's protection. Said, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. They wanted to make themselves a city. But the Lord says, I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse those who curse you. You don't have to worry about being scattered. You don't have to worry that the enemy is going to come and he's just going to make things chaotic and make things crazy and push you here and there, hither and yon, wherever he wants to take you. No, you don't ever have to worry about that. Because the Lord said, I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse those who curse you. The Lord will fight the enemy on your behalf, the Lord is not going to let your life be scattered to the wind. Don't believe that for a half second. See, the old way was to say, let's do what we can to make sure that we stabilize ourselves and protect ourselves. Let's build the city. And they're always talking about walls around the city and so on and so forth. But the Bible talks about the Lord as our shield, our protector. He's the wall around us. He's the fire within. The Bible reminds us that God knows how to protect us. And so we don't have to protect ourselves. We look to the Lord. We trust God, especially in a generation like this, and the enemy is trying to tell us that he's just going to scatter us abroad. He's going to destroy God's church. It wouldn't be the first time the devil said that. Believe me. But the church is still standing. God's church is still here. God's church is still glorifying his name. Hallelujah. God's church is still on fire. And then the final thing I want to point out to you is we have to decide to trust God's purposes. Lest we be scattered abroad again and over the face of the earth. But notice what the Lord says. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So there is a sense in which God scatters us. But it's not the same. It's not to have chaos and confusion. It's when he takes us as seed in this generation. And he just begins to send us out. So that we're a blessing to every nation. To every kindred, to every people, to every language. God has people all over the earth. People who have made a decision that God has a purpose in their life. And they trust God's purpose. They know his intentions for them are for good and not for evil. And instead of them trying to protect themselves and keep themselves from being sent out and called out, they say, no, that's what I'm called to. Whether God is calling you to the other side of the world or he's calling you across the hall to talk to somebody in your apartment complex or across the driveway to talk to somebody in your neighborhood. Every one of us has a call on our lives. And we don't have to protect ourselves. We don't have to insulate ourselves. We don't have to isolate ourselves. If God wants to send us out, he's going to equip us. There's not anything that you and I will ever need. Remember what the Bible says with regard to Jesus as he begins to send his disciples out. And he asked them, was there anything that you needed? Because he had sent them out without this or without that or without the other thing. And yet he asked them, when I sent you out and told you not to take this with you or that with you or the other thing with you, was there anything that you needed? And they said, Lord, we didn't need anything. There was not a want in our lives. That's what the Bible says. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not need. I don't need anything. I need God. I need God. If he sends me out, he's going to empower me. I need the body of Christ because we work together and we do this thing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you this afternoon. All it takes is a decision. Everything else is in place. All the grace necessary. The power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God. The family of Christ. Everything is working in your favor. God gave us his Son. He gave us his Spirit. He gave us his saints. He gave us his commission into this generation, and every one of us has a part to play. Everything that you and I need is already in place. That doesn't mean that there is not a process. Abraham came out, and he still had to go through a process. He still had to do some walking. He still had to do some praying. He still had to do some worshiping. He still had to do some fighting and so on and so forth. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there comes a time in the life of a Christian when we come out of the old philosophy. Even after having come out from the old theology, and even after having been saved and born again into this new life, sometimes in our minds, we allow ourselves to believe that we can't decide to let certain things go. Because we were raised this way. Abraham could have said that. We were born in this kind of situation. Abraham could have said that. My father had idols. Abraham could have said that. My father worshiped the moon. Abraham could have said that. You just don't know exactly what I've been through. Abraham could have said that. But you know what he said instead? The decision is mine. Everything is in place, brothers and sisters. And all you have to do, and all I have to do, is simply decide. It's literally that simple. All the grace to make the decision is there. Remember, the Bible says it's God working in you, both to will and to do. God giving you all the power to decide, to just let this thing go. It is literally that simple. Everything is on your side. Everything is behind you. Everything. The only thing that you and I have got to do is stop believing the lie and decide that we're leaving everything about Ur of the Chaldees. And like I said, it's a process. Abraham had to leave his father, then he had to leave Lot, and then Ishmael, and then even Isaac had to be laid down. It's a process. But it begins with a decision. I'm coming out. I'm letting go. No besetting sin, nothing. No. I have made up my mind. It comes a time, brothers and sisters, believe me, I know, when you simply say, I trust God. I wouldn't be here, I wouldn't be doing what I do, unless there was a day when I decided I'm going to follow God. Amen. And I'm going to let go of this because he's called me to this. And every single one of us the same. I want to pray with you this afternoon. I'm not a perfect person, but I can honestly say that I'm not walking in willful sin. I can honestly say that. Because I simply made a decision to grab hold of all of the power that God has given me to walk in righteousness. It's simple. I didn't do anything else. I didn't have anything else that I could do. But God. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord. If God is speaking to you, you're struggling with something that you know shouldn't be in your life, and you're saying, I'm tired of it. It's got to stop now. You understand? That's all you have to do is say, it stops now. It's very simple, but you have to take a stand. You have got to allow the God to give you backbone and courage. And today, you say, it stops now. And God is going to help you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to encourage you. He's going to empower you. The devil is trying to tell you, you will never be free because of how you were raised and what you experienced and what was done to you. I'm telling you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it stops now. If God is speaking to you, brothers and sisters, come on up to the front. We're going to pray together. Balcony, main floor, we'll wait for you. If you're in the annex, just come on through. God is going to bless you today. This is the beginning of days for you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. This is family. This is family. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Many years ago, by the grace of the Lord, I simply made a decision. And today, this is not like one of those TV shows where everything is about a breakthrough. It's simply about you and me appropriating all the promises of God in Jesus Christ. and simply deciding it stops now. And that's it. Lord Jesus, I pray for my brothers and my sisters. Simply ask you, Jesus, to break down the lie of the enemy that says we can't escape our past. Break it down, Lord. We can come out. We can come out spiritually, but we can also come out psychologically. We know that we're saved, but there's a residue that sometimes tries to follow us out. And we're coming against that psychological residue that says you can go out and bring all the men with you and maybe the women, but leave the children and leave the livestock. No. We decide that we will leave nothing behind. We are coming out, and we're coming out with all of the promises of God. We make a decision. And we know, Lord, that that decision is based upon your own Holy Spirit, based upon the work of Jesus and the power of the Spirit to make us both willing and able. We simply decide today. And we know that there is no devil that can stay the hand of God. So we decide to trust God. We ask that your name be glorified in it. And like Abraham, that there be many, many, many who are born because God has given us the power to make the right choice. We thank you for this, O Jesus. And we bless you for it. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.